So, new words have been added to the Merriam-Webster dictionary this year. Here's a little intro to that. If you don't spend most of your time on the internet, it can be hard to keep up with the evolving lingo of the digital age. Luckily, the editors at Merriam-Webster have done the hard work of keeping track of the most important new terms for now. The American Institution has added over 840 new words to the dictionary, many of which didn't exist a couple of decades ago. 840 words. Readers fluent in internet speak will be familiar with many of the entries on this list. There are also plenty of new words that are specific to the tech world. Not every word that's new to the dictionary is necessarily new to language. Merriam-Webster now includes some culinary terms that have been around for a while, and the new list also features abbreviations for common words. Here are some of the entries. We have 25 of the 840 words that have been added. All right, you guys are going to have to help me out on this. You guys are more tech savvy than I am, and don't spend as much time. I don't spend as much time in Tron as you guys do.
That was a great game of frisbee the other day, Esmeralda.
You guys have the frisbee game
in our full body suits.
Yeah.
I was hoping you'd at least reference The Matrix.
Yeah, we're living in The Matrix.
Rather than Tron.
I don't know why I went to Tron right away. Well, you know, it's a real quick story.
Bridges.
Jeff Bridges is in it. That's probably why. Very, very quick story. I can't think of Tron without thinking of Mr. Scott Oaken. Scott Oaken was in a play that I directed called Being at Choice. And it was a play about a day in a group counsel, like a group therapy session. And he played the host, the guy who was like hosting the therapy session. And he was having everybody do they did different exercises throughout this play. It's a really funny play. Mike Meredith wrote it. It's a very, 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 very funny play. And I directed the remount of it back in 2004, I guess, or 2003, something like that. And Scott played the lead. He played the counselor guy. A very flaky guy named Mark Nyborg was his name. So at one point he's having, you know, these other characters, these six characters who all have their different issues and problems, which is why they're there, to do some exercises, you know. And one of them was to make a list, to be very, very quiet, and make a list or write a letter to your mother. I can't remember exactly. But anyway, it was like this very quiet exercise. So the lights come up on the scene. And all the people are in different parts of the room. The whole play took place in one room with a lineup, basically, of six chairs. And that was it. It was very simple. So, Dan, did you see it?
I did not.
So, anyway, so the lights come up. And everybody's writing like a letter or doing some sort of like quiet exercise or something. And Scott's asleep, like as the he's fallen asleep. So he's sitting in the chair and he's got like he's got his elbow on his leg and his hand is on his chin and he's sleeping with his chin holding up. And so he's sleeping and we let the scene go on for a little while because other people are doing certain things. And all of a sudden Scott's head slips off his hand and one night we were doing rehearsal. His head slipped off his hand. He wakes himself up suddenly. His hand slips off his head. He wakes up. He goes, Tron. And I laughed my ass. I laughed for like 15 minutes. Apparently he was dreaming of Tron or something. He wakes up, Tron. And so we kept that in. That was one of those lines that was like a keeper because he improvised it one night. And I was like, no, you say Tron every single night. You say Tron every single night. So I always think of Tron. Whenever I think of Tron, I think of Scott waking up and being a choice. Anyway, that was an aside. But you guys are going to have to help me out on some of these terms because I'm old and weak and stupid.
We'll help you, old man.
Thank you very much. Okay, so this one is bogey?
Bougie.
Oh, bougie. Okay, that makes more sense. It's short for bourgeois. This term means marked by concern for wealth, possessions, and respectability. So it's bougie. Does anybody ever say that?
Oh, I say it all the time.
The Migos do.
Who?
Oh, yeah, Bad and Bougie.
Yeah, Bad and Bougie. They're a rap group.
Oh.
Yeah, I say that all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because when things are too fancy, I'm like, oh, I'm being all bougie.
Wow.
I just said when I was, I made that gazpacho and I put it in a glass jar.
Oh, all fancy.
A drinking jar. And I was like, oh, I'm so bougie.
Okay,
my gazpacho.
I've never used it. How have I? You guys both know it immediately, and Esmeralda, you even use it. How do I?
You
how
might
have
know
I
it as
this?
Highfalutin.
Yeah, I know that. I know maybe highfalutin. Fancy pants.
When you get dressed in your zoot suit.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And fancy pants. That's what I would be all fancy. Oh, you're all fancy. Aren't you a fancy pants?
Yeah.
Don't you call them slacks?
Oh.
Slacks? Oh, fancy slacks? That's what you mean? All right.
But I think most people would probably just say fancy.
Yeah, that's what I say. That's the term I say.
But yeah, bougie.
When did this term arrive approximately? Has it been around a while?
I thought it had been around for a very long time.
I hadn't heard it before the Migos song, but...
Okay. I'd heard it all the time. And then there's that place... well, when you go to college, you know, you learn all those highfalutin bougie words.
Uh-huh.
Like the bourgeois, you know, was that time when the bourgeois period?
Yeah.
With all that.
Fancy pants stuff.
Yeah, you know, when all the people and the poor people and the
and then there were the bourgeois as opposed
right.
to the, okay.
So I knew of it as that as well, but no one's going to. Oh yes, the bourgeois.
Here's another connection to a show that I directed, Dan and Esmeralda. I actually cast an actor named Jack Bourgeois.
Oh, look at that!
Yeah.
In Black and Blue. He was in Black and Blue.
Jack Bougie.
And I was like, is this your real name? He's like, yeah, it's my real name. I'm like, no, it's not. There's no way that your last name is Bourgeois. And it's spelled like the spelling. It's the Bourgeois. And he pronounced it Bourgeois. And I was like, okay. I thought for sure it was like a stage name. But he told me, no, that's like my real name. So he's Bougie by birth. Okay, this is an abbreviation. TL... semicolon DR.
Oh, yeah. Too long, didn't read.
Wow, man. You know all this stuff.
I have only recently learned all those, what do you call them, acronyms, or what are they?
Yeah, I think so. It's an abbreviation for too long, didn't read, as you just said, and it used to say something, was would require too much time to read. So is it like on an email or a text or something like that? You would say... TLDR, I can't.
Yeah, or a long blog post.
Yeah.
Just like you're telling the person, like, all right, condense it. Let's go. Was it
right.
too long?
It's always funny when it's people, and it's also depressing, but when it's people just like on Facebook spilling their guts.
Yeah.
And it's this big long thing, and then just at the bottom, too long, didn't read.
Oh, yeah, that's
just
really
give me the facts.
That's really sad that somebody would post that on there. I mean, you know, you could think it.
Well, it's usually someone just like, well, I feel strongly about blah, 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 blah. And it's like, all right, just give me the main points.
Right. All right. Okay. Well, I'm learning today. I actually learn every day because I'm stupid. But, all right.
That's
I know.
That's because you don't come from the bourgeoisie culture.
That's exactly right.
Is it bourgeois or bourgeoisie?
I think it's bourgeois, but I've heard it. You know,
I've heard bourgeoisie too.
Because I've heard, yeah. I've heard both ways.
Now, this one I know. Uh-oh. Maybe I'm hip. They're adding bingeable to the dictionary. They've added bingeable. And that's having multiple episodes or parts that can be watched in rapid succession. We all know that. Thank you, Netflix.
I've never used that term.
Bingeable?
Right.
To describe a show? Like I think Glow is bingeable.
Yeah, I've never said that.
No.
Say,
I don't think,
I'm going to binge watch that.
Or,
you can binge watch that one.
No, I don't really say bingeable, but I've definitely used the term binge about TV shows. Without question, I've used it. But so they've added bingeable. So we've got more here, but everybody hang on because this is TLDR. We're going to have to go to a commercial. All right. We're going to get all bougie when we come back. All right. Let's take a break. More after this on WGN. You know, he really is a genius. He really is. Weird Al is a genius. It's a Triple Play Thursday. Year being Triple Play Thursday. And that's one artist, three songs. Get your requests in, 312-981-7200. And that's Weird Al, 773 area code requested, and then that's eBay. All right. So we are talking about some of the new words that have been added to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, and that I'm way behind on the hipness factor of what's happening in the world.
Also, keep in mind, TL:DR. Don't say it out loud.
Well, no, you just type it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't make that mistake.
All right. Okay. How about predictive? As in predictive text. What does that mean?
It's not a real word?
P-R-E-D-I-C-T-I-V-E. Predictive. What is that? Dan? Do you know
to
this?
Predict, to which predict. Which, again, is not the right way to answer. But, yeah, I mean, it's to kind of... It knows where you're going.
That was predictive?
Predictive, yeah.
Or as in maybe the correct term, which is predictable?
No, no. Like, predictable would be, you know, like, oh, I know that, you know... As you know, I sneezed. It's predictable that Esmeralda would say "God bless you" because she's a nice person
right.
who cares about my health. Whereas predictive would be
you say "God bless you" because you care about somebody's health.
You have to say it or something bad happens. Yeah. You don't know this.
So, whereas you would be, it would be predictive of you to know that it's allergy season and I have allergies, so you know I'm going to be sneezing a lot during this.
Oh, all right.
This is, I didn't know that was not a word before.
Well, I guess
I think it is, but I think it's a new definition of it in this context.
Yeah, it said here not every word is new to the dictionary, or new to language. So I guess the word's been used, but it wasn't in the dictionary before. All right, how about haptics? HAPTICS, haptics. It's a noun.
No idea.
This comes from the world of gaming consoles and smartphones. It's the movement one experiences through a sense of touch while playing a game. Haptics. I've never heard that. Now, I'm a gamer, obviously. Dan, did you know haptics?
I did not.
And obviously, Esmeralda, you didn't.
No, but that's like a, I think, specific to... that technology, like someone in that industry.
Is a technical term then.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think people are just saying,
hey man,
that.
You want to experience some haptics?
This has some haptic technology on it. It's great. It's like, no.
By the way, 262 adds predictive text on your phone puts in what you think it'll be typing next.
Oh. Okay. I always like what pops up when I'm texting, what they think the next word is going to be. That always cracks me up sometimes because, you know, there are certain words that I type more than others. And, you know, so those words will pop up. Or if I like when I type in a name, how many celebrity names come up, like how many, what the last name next is. Like I put up a post on MySpace last night while I was watching Jimmy Kimmel.
Wait, on what?
On MySpace, on Facebook, MySpace. Yeah, I went back to my DeLorean and went back to 2005. I said hi to Tom, too. He was turning around looking at me, so I had to say hi to him. But I went back, so I go on Facebook, and I put a post up last night on Facebook, and I said, I love it when Sarah Silverman is on Jimmy Kimmel's show. It's always great. It's always very funny. And I typed in Sarah, and Silverman popped up as an option. I was at Palin also did, but Silverman was one, because I get three options on my phone. It's like, what's the next word going to be? And it gives me three choices of what they predict it's going to be. So it's predictive choices. All right. We have an explanation here from Scott. Hi, Scott.
Well, I hope it's an explanation.
Okay.
You also have a haptic feature on your phone. Like when you press a button, sometimes you feel a vibration.
Mm. Okay.
You can turn it on or off. You have to go into your settings and everything.
Right, right. I mean, and that, does it say haptic? Or, because, I mean, I have that.
Yeah.
I have the, on my phone, I have whether or not I can have the sound on, the vibration on, or completely off. And whenever I put it on vibrate, it gives a little vibration, then it goes on vibrate.
Yeah, that's a haptic vibration.
Okay.
It could be a good vibration. I don't know, whatever.
Well, it depends on, hey, it depends on if the phone's in my pants or not. That's a...
I got my phone in my pants.
Yeah.
Your friend wrote a book. Did you know that?
Who?
Gary Busey.
What? Wait a minute. What? Gary Busey wrote a book?
It's called Buseyisms.
Oh, yeah. And it's all those, it's all the acronyms that he uses to describe, like when he takes a word and he makes an acronym out of it, what the letters
sure.
stand for. There's a book out called Gary, it's called Buseyisms?
Yes, it is.
Oh, my God. All right. We'll have to get that book. All right, Scott, thanks for the call.
Okay. No problem. Bye.
That's going to be a New York Times bestseller right there, Buseyisms. Forget about that Bob Woodward book about Trump. The Buseyisms is going to outsell it. All right. We have to break here because we got to go to news. Everybody hang on. Hang on to your haptics. That's Weird Al with Sports Song. 773 area code requesting some Weird Al on Triple Play Thursday. Triple Play Thursday, yeah! Get your requests in now, 312-981-7200. How you doing? It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're in the Allstate Skyline Studio live here till 5 a.m. And we are talking about some of the new words that have been added to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. 840 new words were added on total, but we're looking at about 25 of them. And trying to figure out what they mean. So, how about this one? Force quit. It's a verb. Force quit. You guys know what that is, right?
So that would be a whole word, not a phrase.
It's two words. Force quit. It's to force an unresponsive computer program to shut down by using a series of preset keystrokes. So you're force quitting your computer. That's in there now, too, in the dictionary. Force quit. That was a good Chuck Norris movie. That's not really a Chuck Norris movie, but it could be. Chuck Norris in Force Quit. Have you seen the new car commercial, the truck commercial with Chuck Norris?
I have not.
Chuck Norris, I can't remember what brand of car or truck it is. It's a truck. And Chuck Norris, for some reason, at the beginning of the commercial, Chuck Norris is breaking a cinder block with his hand on the street. He's like just on the street breaking a cinder block with his hand. And the guy goes, "Hey, Chuck Norris." And he goes, "Yeah. Would you sign my truck?" He goes, "Sure." He comes over, he signs the guy's truck on the right on the side of the by the hood of the truck. And then the commercial cuts to the truck driving around with an overhead shot of the truck, you know, doing wheelies and turning, not wheelies, donuts and turning around and around. And in the dust, the face of Chuck Norris pops up. That's what the wheels are leaving behind. Or is it like?
So he drew his face on the tires?
No, he signed it. He signed the truck. And then the truck, you know, when you do, why do I keep saying wheelies? When you do donuts.
Donuts.
Mm-hmm.
If you're like on dirt doing donuts, it'll leave a tire mark that's round. You know, it's a big round tire mark.
So
but it left an image of Chuck Norris's face in the dirt.
So he imbued himself into this truck.
Yeah. Hmm. And then the truck is like doing all kinds of stuff, taking out criminals and stuff. And then you cut into an office and it's like an agent. Chuck Norris is in this office and they're watching this on video. Watching all of this truck action on video, and Chuck Norris goes, "You replaced me with a truck?" And that's the end of the commercial. I don't understand it. It makes no sense. And it's a commercial for, like, I don't know, Chevy or something.
Oh, I was thinking the spirit of Chuck Norris went into that truck.
And then, like, I guess that's what it's supposed to be. Like, I mean, as soon as Chuck Norris signed the truck, put his signature on the truck became superhuman. and could do anything. But then you find out that, like, he was replaced in a movie by a truck. That was the joke at the end of the commercial. Not the most linear commercial I've ever seen. But I think, I don't know what brand of truck it's for, but my favorite part of the commercial is that Chuck Norris is just on the street breaking cinder blocks with his hands. That's my favorite part. My
just because.
Just because. You know why? Because he's got that complete total gym. That's why. He can go out and do anything he wants. He does look great, though. I think he's like 73 years old or something. He looks, he and Weird Al must be on the same diet. I'd like to see Weird Al out on the street busting cinder blocks with his hands. That would be pretty cool. And have Weird Al get possessed by, have a car being possessed by Weird Al. So that
would be such a creative car.
So that the, exactly, it would be a genius car. But then every radio station would be nothing but Weird Al songs on. If you tried to change a radio station, it would just be all Weird Al all the time. So. All right, so Force Quit, not a Chuck Norris movie. How about this? Airplane Mode. We all know that one. Everybody has that on their device. It's an operating mode for an electronic device, such as a mobile phone, in which the device does not connect to wireless networks and cannot send or receive communications, such as calls or text messages. It cannot access the internet, but remains usable for other functions. That's Airplane Mode. Instagram has been added to the dictionary. And that's a verb.
Well, yeah, because you Instagram. I actually just yesterday I said, oh, I'm going to put it on my Insta.
Oh, you're even cutting it down even more.
Yeah, and then I laughed at myself.
To post a picture.
Yeah, because that would be out of that. Because I people call it the gram. My friends call it the gram.
The gram.
Oh. Yep.
Doing it for the gram.
Got to put on the gram. And there's later grams.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know what any of this is.
Later grams is when you take a picture, but you don't instantly post it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, usually so you hashtag the picture later.
I have Instagram on my phone, but I don't use it. I mean, it's just pictures, right? You put pictures up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not real good with putting pictures up. I don't want me seen. This is to post a picture to the Instagram photo sharing service. I didn't know it was a verb.
Well, because, you know, when you talk about it.
Right.
I'm going to Instagram it.
It's like Facebook. I'm going to Facebook that.
Oh, okay. Right. All right. I don't know. Really. All right. How about biohacking? It's a noun. Biological experimentation done by gene editing or use of drugs or implants, done to improve the qualities or capabilities of living organisms, especially by individuals and groups outside of a traditional medical or scientific research environment. So it's what, crazy scientists doing weird things to people's bodies?
Yep.
It's like that guy who put the things in his wrist so he could open doors and buy chips.
Oh, that thing. Okay, yeah, we were talking about that, putting the chips in your body.
Yeah, and there's a technology called CRISPR, which is an acronym, and that's making great strides right now in terms of scientific in terms of editing gene
in
sequences.
Terms of, yeah, okay. All right. How about fintech? One word, F-I-N-T-E-C-H. Fintech. It's products and companies that employ newly developed digital and online technologies in the banking and financial services industries. Oh, so that's just a very specific tech. Financial tech. Fintech. I've never heard that before either. I've never heard that before. Have you heard that?
I haven't.
Nope.
Wow. Okay. I didn't even know that was a thing. I mean, I'm aware of banking and financial services that are using technologies and online technologies and stuff. I just didn't know that there was a term for it. How about? Oh man. How about marg?
Oh, a margarita?
Yeah.
I mean,
does anybody say marg?
I do.
Come on, really?
Said it, but I say it like in a silly way. I don't really mean it.
It's like an ironic way.
Mm-hmm.
According to Merriam-Webster, the first known usage occurred in 1990 for marg.
Because V's dad loves margaritas.
So you, does he say he loves margs?
No, but we always joke. I was like, oh, V works at a restaurant. I was like, did you get him a marg? They came to visit. I was like, did he have a marg?
Dan, have you heard
marg? I have not heard marg.
I have never heard it before.
I wouldn't expect it to be a real word.
Well, it's in the dictionary now.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Marg. Well, no, I guess enough people are using it.
Yeah, but that's like a... It's just a shortened version of margarita.
Yeah.
It's not... I don't know. I always just expect it, dictionaries to have just words onto themselves. You would think this would be in the definition of margarita at the bottom.
Yeah. Also, another term is marg.
Right.
Yeah, I've never, you know, well, I, and I said I bartended for a long time. Nobody ever ordered a marg while I was bartending. Of course, I
would you even want them to order a marg?
I was going
to
say, of course, I bartended in bars that didn't really, you know, they didn't specialize in margs.
Right.
That's for sure.
Although I have people ask me for margaritas. And I'm like, do you see where you are?
Yeah, no, I was not without ever making a margarita behind the bar. I have. But it's like, seriously? Come on. Now, how about this? Fave.
Yeah, favorite?
Yeah.
It's my fave.
Yeah. This word is older than it looks. It dates back to 1938, and it's just getting in the dictionary now. Fave.
It's a long time coming for it.
Yeah.
Again, that's it's an offshoot of favorite.
Yeah. It's a shortened version of favorite, short for favorite. 1938. How do they trace these things back? Some dude in a room in 1938 said, that's my fave. And then everybody else in the room went, write it down. What did he just say?
This is one of these days.
One of these days.
Not today.
It's going to get in the dictionary.
Not in a couple years. But one of these days.
How about this? Oh, well, God. Adorbs.
All right. See, that's... Come on.
It says extremely charming or appealing, all which is adorable. And it's now in the dictionary. Adorbs. I've heard people say that. That's one that I knew about and I've heard.
I say that, but I don't expect it to be in the dictionary.
What? I think there's a lot of these words that we're talking about right now that we don't expect to be in the dictionary. There's a lot of weird stuff now getting in the dictionary. How about this? Here's another shortened one, Esmeralda. Rando. It's only one letter. How is it? I don't understand.
But it does put across more.
Yeah, it's a person.
Yeah, a total rando.
Oh, it's a rando. You're describing a person as a rando.
Yeah. No, that rando dude, you don't want that guy.
Oh.
Total rando.
According to Merriam-Webster, this often disparaging slang means a random person, a person who is not known or recognizable. It also can mean a person who appears in a conversation or narrative unprompted and unwelcome.
Right. You'd be like, ugh, I went to that party. It was just a bunch of randos.
What are we talking about here? I don't know. What language are we speaking now?
I mean, I don't endorse it being in the dictionary.
Esmeralda does not endorse rando.
I don't.
What do you think of this selection process, Esmeralda?
I think the dictionary is just, oh.
He was setting you up.
I know. I realized midway, it's trash.
There you go.
But honestly, I feel like the dictionary is just, they're trying to be cool.
We should add that this is the online dictionary. It's not the printed dictionary, I believe.
Right.
Is there even a printed dictionary anymore?
There are. Nobody uses them because nobody uses books either.
It'd be a mile high with all these,
only
these
randos.
Words. Yeah, only randos have dictionaries.
How about this one, Esmeralda? To go along with your marg, have some guac.
How is that?
That's now in the dictionary.
I don't understand this.
Yeah, guac is now on the in the dictionary.
Is yo in the dictionary?
I don't know. There's a few more here that are just, but guac, Esmeralda, you can enjoy with your marg.
Yeah, I'm like thinking of other words that, why? I'm telling you, the dictionary's just trying to be cool.
That's it. The online dictionary wants to be cool. All right, we're going to find out how much cooler the online dictionary is going to get after we take a break here. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to jump in with your thoughts on these words and the dictionary and all that rando stuff. And then 312-981-7200, also for Triple Play Thursday, get your request in too. All right, we will return. Triple Play Thursday continues. You have a Triple Play Thursday. One artist, three songs. Get your requests in now. Lou picking some Bad Finger. Let's come and get it. Yeah. All right. Hey, how you doing? Nick DiGilio here live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We're here till 5 a.m. Skip Skipley will be approaching the premises soon. We will have another edition of For the Record a little bit later on. So the cats are getting ready to hear Esmeralda sing. And there you go. Coming up, The Stories That Matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
Okay.
We've been talking about some of these words that have been added to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. 840 words have been added, and we've been going through a list of about 25 of them. And so everybody enjoys guac. That's a... all right, we got some texts coming in. If you want to join us, it's 312-981-7200. Canadian Bill says one word that appeared recently is lumbersexual. It's the opposite of a metrosexual. It describes men with unkempt beards, plaid shirts, dirty looking. Lumbersexual. The unkempt beard thing has been popular, right? Is man bun in the dictionary?
I would imagine it will be in a couple year or two if it isn't already.
Yeah. One of the guys got booted on Big Brother, but three guys had man buns, would use put their hair in a man bun. Three different guys in the Big Brother house. I just don't get it. 847 area code, Truck Norris. See, Truck Norris, that's a it's takeoff on that commercial. But Trucker Rich says that Chuck Norris commercial is for Toyota. Another interesting one they've done lately is having a Toyota acting like a bucking Bronco on a farm. Instead of the rider getting thrown off like in real life, this one gets thrown out of the door. It then escapes the farm, and the cowboys get into their Toyotas to track it down. Fun fact about that commercial, Dan. Ready for a fun fact about that commercial?
Yes.
Patrick Swayze's brother is the star of that commercial.
Ah, how about that?
And I'm trying to remember Don Swayze. Patrick Swayze's older brother is in that Toyota commercial. He's the guy who gets bucked out of the car, out of the truck. Don Swayze. That's who that is. He was in a movie called Shy People, Dan. That was directed by Andre Konjalovsky, the director of Tango and Cash.
It all comes together.
Absolutely. All right, here is KJ on WGN. Hi, KJ.
Zoodles, Zoodles.
What's that?
It's some sort of a noodle of some sort. I can just see it on a menu in a restaurant, right? I'll have some zoodles.
Zoodles?
Zoodles.
They're vegetable noodles. Usually, zoodles are zucchini noodles.
It's got to be zucchini, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh. But that's what they call all kind of veggie noodles.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. All right, KJ.
Okay.
Take care. That makes sense if it's, you know, zucchini.
I think there's a version of that later in the list, actually.
Oh. Okay. All right. How about iftar? A meal taken by Muslims at sundown to break the daily fast during Ramadan. That's just getting in the dictionary now. I think we're getting into some of the food ones now, right? I don't even know what this is. How do you pronounce this next one? Gochujang?
Gochujang.
Gochujang.
How is that not even... That's stupid. It's a word.
It is a word, and it's a thing that people use. It's a spicy paste used in Korean cuisine.
That people have been using forever.
Red chili peppers, glutinous rice, and fermented soybeans. So that's now just getting into the dictionary. How about this one, Esmeralda? There's another cooking one, mise en place.
What? I mean, that's a phrase, in my opinion, but
yeah, but it's been around a really long time. A culinary process in which ingredients are prepared and organized, as in a restaurant kitchen, before cooking. Mise en place. How about a hop head? That is originally a slang word for a drug addict dating back to 1883. Now the word means a beer enthusiast. I'm sorry, that's always going to be a drug addict in my book. That's always hophead is one. And oh, by the way, Zoodle is on here next. Zoodle is actually on here. It's a long, thin strip of zucchini that resembles a string or a narrow ribbon of pasta. Oh, how about hangry? Are you hangry for some?
That's a good one.
Are you hangry for some from guac? Irritable or angry because of hunger. People have been hangry, or at least using that word, since 1956. Wow. Mocktail. Typically an iced drink made with various ingredients such as juice, herbs, and soda water, but without alcohol. A non-alcoholic cocktail. Well, what about virgin? You put virgin in front of that, right? Latinx. Of, relating to, or marked by Latin American heritage, used as a gender-neutral alternate to Latino or Latina. Latinx. Never heard that before. I never heard that before.
Got real popular within the last year.
Really? All right.
Yeah, I mean, it is annoying when you're speaking. I mean, when you're speaking Spanish, things automatically turn male.
Oh, okay.
When there's more than one. Like, if you're talking about friends.
Yeah.
And you say amigos,
yeah,
it's immediately men, yeah, which, you know, it's when it's a mix, you can't really.
Can't use that term.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Let's take a break here. We got the news coming up, and then we got some other topics to jump into as well. A couple of quick more words that were added to the dictionary, which we'll take care of after the news, which is next. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. It's Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man. Triple Play Thursday. One artist, three songs. 312-981-7200. That's Lou requesting Badfinger, Day After Day. How's it going? We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6. And I will be joining the Steve Cochran gang. I hope they save me some apples. I will be with them at 6:20 to talk about pop culture, preview some of the movies that are coming up this weekend. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. You know, Dan, I don't know if you can look this up. I'm trying to figure out how many artists other than the Beatles were on Apple, the Apple label. Badfinger was one of them, and I think Mary Hopkins was on Apple. But obviously the Apple label mostly associated with the Beatles. But Badfinger was on Apple, and if I'm not mistaken, I think Mary Hopkins was. So, yeah. And Paul McCartney wrote a few of the Badfinger songs, if I'm not mistaken.
A selection of other artists include Mary Hopkins.
I was right on that.
James Taylor.
James Taylor was on Apple?
Badfinger and Billy Preston.
Billy Preston, right, of course. James Taylor. Wow, I didn't know that. You know, Billy Preston, many people consider him the fifth Beatle.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Preston appeared on so many Beatles songs. He was awesome. I didn't know about James. James Taylor was on Apple.
Taylor, in 1967, funded by a small family inheritance, he moved to London. After recording some demos, a friend gave him his next big break. Coach Mars, his last name, used his association with the King Bees, who once opened for Peter and Gordon to connect Taylor to Peter Asher. Asher was the A&R head for the Beatles' newly formed Apple Records.
There you go. It's interesting. I didn't know that. I knew about the other artists. So it was weird to see any other artist's name on a record that had the Apple label on it. It was just weird. I remember seeing Badfinger, and I'm like, "What? How are they? That's not the Beatles." They were in some way connected to the Beatles, obviously, in some fashion. But that's like Swan Song when Led Zeppelin started Swan Song, their label. I'm trying to think of who else was on Swan Song. I want to say was Bad Company on Swan Song, because they had the very distinctive label. And Zeppelin, I think by Houses of the Holy is I think the first Zeppelin album that was on Swan Song. And then I think Bad Company was on Swan Song.
Bad Company, The Pretty Things, Dave Edmunds, Maggie Bell, Detective, and Sad Cafe.
Dave Edmunds was on Swan Song? Oh. All right. Okay. Well, there you go. A couple quick more terms and phrases and words that are being added to the dictionary that we've been talking about for a little bit here. Generation Z. That's a generation of people born in the late 90s and early 2000s. And Tent City. A collection of many tents set up in an area to provide usually temporary shelter for the displaced and homeless people. Tent City. Now, that term's been around a long time, Dan. Tent City?
Sure.
Been around a while. And Generation Z, we were just talking about what our names are and who falls into what category.
Right.
That's been around for a little bit, too. So, by the way, these 25 and the comments that were... that were written about them, you can find on Mental Floss, mentalfloss.com, the 25 of the new words that Merriam-Webster is adding to the dictionary this year. And some of them are ridiculous. All right.